Thanks very much to Sylvia Dutar, who is a world pipe champion. Please be seated. As a matter of fact, the majority of the best world pipers today are females, just in case. You might not know that. It certainly gives me great pleasure to welcome everybody here and to call to order the first meeting of the Citizens' Assembly on Electoral Reform. This not only is the first meeting of this Citizens' Assembly, indeed, this is the first meeting of a Citizens' Assembly of this kind ever in the history of democracies. This truly is historic, and in my comments, my slightly more formal comments after introductions in about 20 minutes or so, I want to talk about the uniqueness and the historic substance of this assembly. I want to, at this time, however, to thank all of you for being here. The enthusiasm of the members of the assembly is truly gratifying and astounding. A number of visitors who were here this morning and came down to the concourse said the buzz is so fabulous. The buzz was so positive. And you can walk into a group and you can tell whether the buzz is positive or not. And it was a really positive buzz. And people were so happy to meet other people from all over the province. And those of us who went to the meetings starting in Fort St. John, starting with Darlene Dixon, our first member that we chose, and all the way through the Kootenays and the Okanagan and the island, all the way down to Greater Vancouver. People were so excited to be chosen to be members. And, of course, some, regrettably, were so disappointed not to be chosen members. And so it's gratifying for all of us to have all of you here and working with us. Just a few comments about the place we're in. We are meeting in a place that probably could have been designed for the Citizens' Assembly, but when it was designed, the Citizens' Assembly was not thought of. But it's just about perfect. And so we're all sitting in circles here. We're sitting in such a way that no matter who speaks where, you'll be able to turn your chair around and you'll be able to see the face of that person. This place was built for dialogue, so that people could get together and find some common ground on contentious issues or on good, positive kinds of things. This building was it's a heritage building. It was restored. The facade was restored. The ceiling that you see there, by the way, was fully restored as to its original ceiling. It was very much destroyed when the bank put some T-bar ceiling in there. It took us 6 months, six artisans, 6 months on scaffolds, four we had to get out of retirement because they're not there anymore. Anyway, just to indicate that this is a very, very special place, there are a few places like this in the world, actually, where you can actually have this many people meet so close together and interact. A couple other little things about this room that will make you more comfortable, the chairs. The chairs are comfortable, but you don't have to sit low in them all the time. There is a lever on the right-hand side, and if you take your weight off the chair and pull on that lever, you will be as tall as you'll be tall. Well, I have to do it all the time, okay? You'll be quite tall. You tried it? It works. And, of course, it works the other way as well. And as the persons who manage this room always tell us about the washrooms, there's some good news and some bad news. The building does have washrooms. The bad news is not on this floor. So if you want washrooms, you have to go to the floor below or to the third or fourth floor. And then maybe lastly about the, maybe all of you when you did tours, you found out about the microphones. In front of each of you there's a microphone. And when you want to turn it on, Sandra, you're there. Why don't you turn, there's a little button just underneath the button. Yes? Push the button. Now it's on. Why don't you say something to us, Sandra?
Hello, everyone.
There. And then Sandra, you turn it off. And the microphones work very well. You should have your mouth should be fairly close to the microphone. And we can't have any more than two or three on at one time. Otherwise, then, of course, we lose all volume, okay? So when you want to speak, Jim, when you want to speak, you put your hand up, turn it on, and then once you're finished speaking, turn it off, okay? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, all of us who have been working with this are so pleased to see you here, and I gather from the enthusiasm that you're just as pleased to be here as we are to see you. The Citizens Assembly is open to the public, but the space is very limited. And you can see we have a few visitors here, and we have a few visitors in a room upstairs. And those members of the public who wish to join the discussion groups should go to rooms 320 or 420, and they should be there at the very start of the session, and they shouldn't interrupt the discussion. We don't want the visitors or the media or whatever to interrupt the proceedings of the assembly. Now, we've got a lot to do today, and we're going to try very hard to get through our morning rather quickly. We'd like to start the learning session, the beginning of learning about what the various electoral reform systems are out there, or the various systems, voting systems, and we hope to start that by 2:15, but we'll see. So I'm going to be a little bit aggressive as chair and kind of trying to push some things through, and if you think that maybe it's a little bit too aggressive, you can tell me. We'll either stop and do it then, or we'll come back to it. As indicated, every morning that we're going to have a session, every Saturday and Sunday morning, we'll have a question period. And we say, got any questions? And we can pick up some things that perhaps were not sufficiently dealt with in a previous day. Now, our first order of business is the most important business. I just have to change books here. And that is the introduction of members. And I've given you a warning, by the way, that your pictures will be on the screens. But this seemed to us to be very important. The first thing we do is introduce all the members of the Citizens' Assembly. It was a sad note, by the way, that one member of the Citizens' Assembly, Max Malthus, was selected, and only about 2 weeks after it was selected, then passed away. But here are the members of the Citizens' Assembly. Chris Anderson, Victoria. Chris, that's a pretty good picture, isn't it? Margaret Anderson, Prince Rupert. Claude Armstrong, Blind Bay. Sharon Arola, Sparwood. Leanne Ashley, Vancouver. Mo Asim, Burnaby. Brooke Bannister, Richmond. Paula Barakat, Richmond. Art Beaumont, Metchosin. Nancy Bednard, Vancouver. Wendy Bergerud, Victoria. Deb Buke, Anmore. Fred Beyer, Maple Ridge. And Fred wanted me to note that, to tell you, that, by the way, that he is visually impaired, does his best. Cheryl Blaschuk, Cloverdale. Julie Bomer, West Vancouver. George Boucher, Lumbee. Nicholas Boudin, Vancouver. Gladys Brown, Midway. Lil Brulhart, Surrey. Diana Byford, North Saanich. Ingrid Carmichael. Oh, David Callahan, I've missed. Sorry, David. You're still a member. David Callahan, Abbotsford. Ingrid Carmichael, Chilliwack. Barbara Carter, White Rock. Katie Cavaletto, Kamloops. John Chapman, Nanaimo. Wilf Chelly, Buick, largest town in B.C. Diana Cochran, New Westminster, and she regrets she is not able to be here today because her husband last night went into emergency. Dorothy Coombs, Victoria. Linda Crawford, West Vancouver. Tanis Daggert, Lanceville. Edith Davidson, Delta. Ann Davis, Vernon. Sally D. Luna, Vancouver. Donna Dew, Vancouver. Manjeet Dhaliwal, Abbotsford. Rick Dignard, Roberts Creek. Darlene Dixon, Fort Nelson. Lana Donnelly, Colwood, Linda Dorey, Coquitlam, Mary Drew, Burnaby, Jean Ensminger, Ladysmith, Carolyn Fader, Richmond, Linda Fantillo, Campbell River, Shoney Field, Vancouver, Ian Fleming, Langley, Alan Flemons, New Westminster, Darren Folstad, Kelowna, Paul Galbraith, Spill a Machine, Cliff Garbutt, North Vancouver, Gioti Gill, Vancouver, Wendy Gonzalez, Kelowna, and Ken Gosling, Creston, Vicky Gowing, Wimir, Dan Green, Prince Rupert, Dick Hall, Courtney, Derek Harder, Surrey, thank you, Lee Harris, Kamloops, Sandra Hart, Terrace, Daryl Hawkins, Cobble Hill, all these great places around BC. I'm sure you've all been to all these places, aren't they? BC is a wonderful place. When you think about Cobble Hill and all these places, you think, what a wonderful province we have. Ian Hay, Aldergrove, Craig Henschel, Burnaby, R.B. Herat, Surrey, Janet Husick, Victoria, Lynn Hill, North Vancouver, Angela Sue, Maple Ridge, Furman Hung, Vancouver, Geraldine Hurst, Burnaby, Beverly Hughesby, Abbotsford, Peter Indick, Delta, Neil Ireland, Vancouver, Adina Irmiscu, Burnaby, Bill Jackson, Dawson Creek, Mary Jarbeck, Prince George, Susan Johnson, Surrey, Ray Jones, Kamloops, Robert Jones, Campbell River, Sherry Keller, Kelowna, Will Kilsby, Chilliwack, Frankie Kirby, Vancouver, Barbara Kerna, East Sook, Jay Conkin, Surrey, Evelyn Krenz, Richmond, it's not Jen either, Gary Lane, Carrie Lane, sorry about that. Carrie Lane, Brentwood Bay. Janet Lowen, Langley. Sheila McDermott, Penticton. Jack McDonald, Victoria. Kimberly McGregor, Surrey. Glenn McKinnon, Nanaimo. John Mack, Burnaby. Nancy McCaskill, Burnaby. James McConaughey, Prince George. Tanya McDonald, Kelowna. Alan McKinnon, Cranbrook. Amanda Medley, Dawson Creek. Taya Melvin, Ladysmith. Marika Merrick, Delta. Michelle Miller, Kimberley. Russ Miller, Grand Forks. Bob Monk, Quinnell. Evelyn Morrison, Prince George. Cherie Mostrovich, North Vancouver. Clara Monroe, Sycamuse. Tony Nacarado, Williams Lake. Linda Nicolaisen, right? Linda Nicolaisen, Nanaimo. Ken Nielsen, Vancouver. Harlinayan, Kelowna. Chila Olette, Fort St. James. Stephen Paikou, Vancouver. Susan Patry, Merritt. Craig Peterson, Richmond. Don Phillips, Maple Ridge. Stan Petras, Princeton. Andre Popa, Vancouver. Michael Pritchard, Hazleton, another very beautiful part of this province. Gene Kwan, West Vancouver. Sean Rye, South Surrey. Anna Rankin, Quesnel. Colin Redicop, Surrey. Jill Riley, Vancouver. Lynn Ridewood, Maple Ridge. Heidi Riemann, Courtney. Ann Rushlow, Vancouver. Steve Sage, Fraser Lake. Aaron Shalia, Cloverdale. Wolf Scholes, Kitimat. Frederick Shum, Vancouver. Dal Sidhu, Surrey. Jacob Skovegaard, Ladner. I missed one. So we'll see who I missed. Priya Singh, Surrey. And then Jacob. Ralph Smith, North Vancouver. Ray Spaxman, West Vancouver. Jerry Stanger, Port Coquitlam. John Stinson, Penticton. Jackie Tate, Gitwinsik, Gitwinksil. Gitwinksilk. I got it right. Sharon Taylor, Abbotsford. C.J. Thiessen, Chilliwack. Sam Todd, Burnaby. Tom Townrow, Vancouver. Arlene Tully, Vancouver. Rosemary Vanderbilt, Victoria, and Rosemary is not here today because she's expecting a baby in the next 2 or 3 days. We'll let you know. Joanne Vandermeulen, Smithers. Darren Van Ryan, Victoria. Ron Wahlberg, Abbotsford. Charles Walker, Surrey. Douglas Waller, Prince George. Betty Walters, Port Coquitlam. Bob Westfall, Coquitlam. Ann Whitelaw Dykes, Roberts Creek. Sylvia Williams, Langley. David Wills, Vancouver. Norm Womax, Kelowna. Wayne Wong, Vancouver. Susan Wood, Qualicum Beach. Brad Yee, Coquitlam. Debbie Young, Lone Butte. Jeremy Young, Victoria. John Zoll, Abbotsford. F.W. Zenz, Port Alberni. Jack Zhang, Richmond. Irene Zarowski, Kamloops. And finally, Jack Blaney, Vancouver. I would ask all of you, please, to stand. And in recognition of this very historic day, and to recognize all our fellow members, a great big round of applause. Thank you very much. We have some guests with us today who have some direct links with the Citizens Assembly, and I wish to briefly recognize them. First of all, we have John Less, who is chair of the Special Legislative Committee on the Citizens Assembly and MLA for Chilliwack-Sumas. John, thanks for being with us. Harry Bloy, MLA for Berquitlam. Not here. Richard Lee? No. John Nerney? No. Okay. I also want to recognize somebody whom you've read, actually, quite a bit about. He's almost famous. Maybe he is. Gordon Gibson, the author of the report on the Constitution of the Citizens' Assembly. And I have to tell you, Gordon's been a great strength for us. He wrote a very good review. This is not my notes. But he wrote a really great report, a very sensible, practical report. And we've all been following it rather nicely. Kind of and he's been a great source of counsel and help all the way along. Thank you very much, Gordon. I also want to recognize Linda Johnson, who's the Deputy Director, Chief Electoral Officer, Elections BC. And we are in a good partnership with Elections BC. Now I want to just quickly introduce the staff of the Assembly. We have put together very, very quickly, I think, the most wonderful staff that one could ever do in a short time. Ken Carty. Campbell Sharman. Leo Pera. And he's always smiling. Kathy Stuzhnov. Mostly smiling, except when she's dealing with finance stuff sometimes. Christina Wong. Carol Fleming, who's still somewhere nice and warm on holidays. Christine Chung. Susanna Haas. Don McLaughlin. Marilyn Jacobson. Sorry, I'm as quick with this as I should be. And then the facilitators of the Citizens' Assembly, we have employed graduate students, MA and PhD students from the University of British Columbia and Simon Fraser University to help us with our small group sessions. And these are just the most wonderful young men and women I have met. They're just absolutely delightful people. Very bright, very competent, and they're the right kind of attitude. And so we're very pleased to have them. Amanda Bittner. Cameron Broten, Greg Clark, Terry Evans, Michelle Garvey, Catherine Hirbor, Royce Coop, and Julia Lockhart, Kara McGregor, Hillary Pierce, Mark Pickup, Kashi Tanaka, and finally, and but not last by any means, Russell Williams. And to all of these, our congratulations for joining us. Thank you. Now, that took a little bit of time, but seemed to us, actually, very important to introduce the members of the Assembly and introduce the members of the staff. This is quite an exceptional thing because we're going to be working together for a whole year. And although you've not met very many people until now, you're going to find that you will know almost everybody when 11 months are over. And you will know the staff very well. We've indicated there's something in your book about indicators of success, and we kind of hope that you're sad a little bit when in December 1 or December 15 that this is all over. It is my pleasure now to make a few comments as chair, and then when I finish, I'm going to ask members if they would have a few comments to make as well, and then we'll get on with the more formal business. So my fellow members of the Assembly, in the words of two of our guests sitting here, this is a rare and precious moment, and we carry the hopes and expectations of many. And my comments to you today are organized around 3 points. Starting today, we have an incredible and unique opportunity, and an equally incredible and unique responsibility. To our knowledge, nowhere at any time in democracy has a government asked non-elected citizens to undertake such a commitment and then has given those same citizens such potential power over such an important public policy question. This day indeed is historic, and we, all of us here, are part of that history. Now, don't you think that that is just absolutely wonderful? This assembly is historic, not because we will review and make a decision regarding our electoral system. Many governments have reviewed and have sometimes have changed their voting system. At least four other provinces, the Law Commission of Canada, are now reviewing electoral systems. What makes this assembly unique and what makes it historic is the process by which we will review this very important public policy issue. It is true that the eventual recommendation, whether to change the voting system or not, will be an important one, a very important decision. But of much greater importance, however, is how we will manage the process, how well all of us will learn together. Whether such an assembly is ever again assembled, will have very little to do with the actual decision we will make, and almost everything to do with how well we learn to work together and making a decision together. Second point. The assembly is its members, and the assembly's success will be what its members learn. Learning together is the essence of our task. Throughout history, most of the really significant and beneficial social initiatives had their birth in adults coming together to learn and then to act. Sometimes to protest, sometimes to celebrate, sometimes to invent new ways of doing things, sometimes to strengthen institutions or build better communities. In the past 100 years in North American society, I would say that perhaps the most significant and largest example of the power and the impact of adult learning was the thousands of American and Canadian veterans returning or going to university following World War II. Prior to World War II, most of you weren't here and don't know, universities were largely for the privileged few. Our university populations then exploded. Many quadrupled overnight. Most economists will argue that no social investment returns such large economic and social benefits. The huge productivity gains in North America through the 50s to the 70s, and indeed the foundation of our technology transformation, are very much a product of that vast and intensive investment in adult learning. Now, this assembly, of course, is an invention on a much, much more modest scale. But on a proportional basis, BC's investment in this assembly, especially in the capacity and the will of its members to learn, could be no less significant in its impact, and no less the model of the power of adult learning. As both Margaret Mead and Michael Moore observed, and I use the two so each generation can take their choice of author, it is absolutely amazing what can be accomplished when adults come together in dialogue. Throughout centuries of the world, it is absolutely amazing when adults come together freely together, not to destroy things, but to construct things in dialogue. The effects are enormous. So we will learn about different voting systems, the effects of those differences on the political process and how governments operate. We will learn from our fellow citizens around the province what they think about different voting systems. We will learn from each other's experiences and values. And we will learn how to work together. That is, we will learn how to make this assembly a success. If the government simply wanted to know where the people of BC stood on the matter of electoral reform, they could have taken a poll, a snapshot of current views. But they wanted something quite substantially different. The government wanted to know what a representative group of citizens would say about our electoral system after they have learned about different systems, after they have worked through their ideas with other people, after they have learned how their values and the values of others are fundamental to any opinions on this issue, and after considerable dialogue and deliberation. The government wanted to know what informed, thoughtful citizens would recommend, especially after months of listening and dialogue. Thus, this enterprise in which we are all now engaged is all about the power and the importance of learning. And third, it is through the powerful tool of dialogue that we will learn and demonstrate the success of the assembly. There are some cynics out there, by the way, and I never but say anything else but this will be a successful assembly. And we will be successful because we will learn to use the powerful tool of dialogue. If we really felt that we had nothing to learn from one another, or that the decision could best be made by individuals without dialogue with others, then we could simply take a vote now, go home, and save a lot of time and money. But we are here, and you could see it last night and you could see it this morning. We are here because we have made a commitment to engage in a process which is substantially more constructive and substantially more creative than old-style win-lose debate and old-style win-lose voting. We are here to invent a new way to engage citizens in the practice of democracy. That's what we're here for, to invent a new way to engage citizens in the practice of democracy. Of course we will challenge ideas, but we will do so within the context of dialogue, where all are equal, where individuals will for some time suspend judgment, where different views are respected, and where individuals will focus on understanding different values. We will listen to understand. We will ensure that others have the same space and time to speak as we do. And our work will not be about winning. Our work will be about exploring common ground. In the fall, we will make decisions, perhaps by consensus, we'll see. Indeed, our mandate is to do so, a decision by fall. And we will do so in a way that will listen very carefully to all opinions. Indeed, we will attempt to build agreements that, to the fullest possible extent, reflect what the largest number of people here feel and say. And in the fall, when agreements are reached, those who may not see their views in the decision itself, will know with confidence that they contributed substantially to the most important product, the process by which decisions were reached. In a true democracy, and certainly in our assembly's democratic process, all voices will be heard, all voices understood. Dialogue is best when it creates feelings of equality, cooperation, and trust. And the better our dialogue, the greater the likelihood that our decisions will be judged as fair, because the process we used to make those decisions will be seen as fair. Many years ago, the great philosopher John Dewey concluded that in a democracy, how one comes to a decision is fundamentally far more important than the decision itself. In our assembly, we will respect minority viewpoints. We will listen to all voices and modify ideas to be as inclusive as possible so that our decisions are seen as fair. Now, this is so very important because what we are about to invent is a citizens' assembly with not only the power to alter a particular public policy, but more importantly, a citizens' assembly with the power to prove the effectiveness of a new tool in the practice of democracy. This indeed is an incredible opportunity and an incredible responsibility. Through working well together, learning together, we will invent a new social tool in the practice of democracy, and we will all share the pride, the honor, and the joy of that invention. So, my fellow members and my wonderful colleagues, this really is indeed, for all of us, the opportunity of a lifetime. Thank you. I would like to now invite any members of RB. You have to turn the little button on.
Am I okay now?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the Citizens' Assembly, I treat it as a great privilege and honor to be the first member to speak at this historic assembly. Please allow me to start with a traditional greeting. Obasamata Ayubovan. It's a greeting in my mother tongue, Sinhalese. It means I wish you all longevity. I am Ranbanda Bob Herap, simply RB, from Surrey Newton. It is my great pleasure to make a personal declaration of appreciation at this historic occasion. I was born and raised in Sri Lanka. I completed my studies in the United Kingdom, and I worked and lived in a number of countries in Asia, Africa, Europe, and in North America. Wherever I lived, I have taken keen interest in learning and understanding the electoral and governing systems. I must say, Mr. Chairman, nowhere have I seen anything like this. An independent and non-partisan citizens' assembly with members drawn on a territorial basis that could play a vital role in shaping the electoral system of a democracy. I see this, Mr. Chairman, as a groundbreaking step in reshaping and uplifting democracy in British Columbia. It is a step that could lead the way in reshaping democratic institutions, not only in British Columbia, but also in the rest of Canada and indeed other democracies outside the Canadian borders. Mr. Chairman, as I see, the establishment of the Citizens' Assembly is an outstanding recognition by the BC legislature that democracy means the rule of the people, by the people, and for the people. At the same time, the BC government and the legislature have thought about the need for political education, an essential prerequisite of democracy, in making popular decisions that would affect the future of this great province. I think it is an additional step that the BC legislature and the government have very carefully chosen to ensure democracy prevails in British Columbia in its purest form. I therefore, Mr. Chairman, wish to note my appreciation of the Legislative Assembly of British Columbia for establishing the Citizens' Assembly and leading the way to improve the democratic institutions of this great, great country of ours. Viva British Columbia, viva Canada. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, RB. Other comments from members? George, and then Gladys.
I think I speak for everyone. I want to thank you and your staff for the way you've organized this historic event.
Thank you very much. Actually, we really appreciate that, because if I may say with my colleagues, boy, have we ever been working hard the last few months to get this ready. Gladys.
Yes, coming from a small town and about a 7-hour drive out of Vancouver, it gives me great pleasure to be here. And I could add, my fellow people in Midway are thrilled that I am chosen, and I am excited to be here. And it is great that such a small town with 600 people will have a voice with the decision-making here in British Columbia. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Yes, Mom. Thank you very much, Gladys. Mary?
Mr. Chairman and members of the Assembly, I'm really pleased to be here, too. with 160 members, I'm looking forward to the process that we're engaged in. I've always been interested in what's happening in BC and in the political aspect as to how we vote in our members of the legislature. And so this is going to be truly an exciting time for me. First of all, I really would like to follow through on the comment that was made to the staff and to Jack Blaney for the wonderful job that they did in providing us with the accommodations and also this wonderful facility here. It was wonderful. The reception last night was great. I met so many people in such a short period of time. I can't wait for the whole weekend because I'm sure we'll meet a heck of a lot more in the next few days. But I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to being part of the process in this historic occasion. So congratulations to you and your staff.
Thanks, Mary.
Mr. Chairman, Assembly members, my name is Wolf Scholz, Jack.
Yes, I could. Right.
And greetings from the Pacific Northwest, which is called Kitimat, British Columbia. And 50 years ago, on the 9th of March, I arrived in Canada from Germany, and I thank Canada and British Columbia for having me and have given me a good life and for letting me be here and give something back after 50 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wolf. Diana.
Good morning, everybody. Personally, as a retired person, I have the time to put into this, and I would like to say that I recognize that a great many people here are juggling jobs and families to put in the necessary time for this, and I think that I and all the fellow retirees that are on this assembly feel that we have a little advantage over you, and I take my hat off to each and every one of you. And I'd also like to add my thanks to the staff. They have done an incredible job.
Thank you very much. Chuck.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Assembly, I must admit that I feel quite honored to participate in this process, and I'm very, very eager to learn more about electoral systems. And as for the reception last night and all the time I've spent with other Membly participants, it's a privilege to be associated with such a new and nonpartisan process. As an individual voice in our democratic system, I promise to apply myself to learning as much as I can. And I would like to thank the staff and Jack for their efforts on our behalf.
Thank you very much. Hardy.
Yeah, just when you explain this whole assembly to your friends, they kind of look at you kind of funny, but coming to this and meeting the people last night and this morning, I'm really impressed with the group and everybody's positive attitude. I was a little concerned of 160 people being able to work together, but after what I've seen in the last few hours, I think our opportunity for success is just overwhelming. I think it's going to be great.
Other comments? Dan Green has indicated he wants a request of a letter of appreciation from the members of the Assembly for the employees. So we can accommodate that. Thank you very much. Dan Green, where are you, Dan? Can't see you there. Okay. Did I get that correct? Okay, Dan, got it. Actually, little cards being sent up are also good. You can do that, too. There's lots of ways that we can communicate. Any other comments? Wayne, you look like you're just ready to say something. Very interesting. No? Douglas.
I'm a little shy.
As a school teacher, and I know there's quite a few school teachers amongst us in the assembly, I've spoken to the students in my class about me coming down here, and I've told them what we're going to try and do. And they have said that this is really neat because they know it's going to affect their lives so much more because they're the young people of our province. And we're going to be making possibly some major changes that's going to affect the lives of those young people that we teach. So they're saying thanks through to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Douglas. Tanis.
Am I on?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, one of the reasons why... one of the reasons why I'm excited about this is that the province of British Columbia has invested in all of us to become smarter. We get to you know, use our brain in different ways and increase our intelligence, heighten our intellect and our abilities to interact and speak with one another. And I'm having a hard time feeling like I'm serving because I'm getting so much in return already. So thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes. From Victoria, British Columbia, also a great thank you for what is taking place here to you and the staff. I think the comment that I have to make as I mingled with the crowd yesterday was a gratification to see so many very young people. One of the biggest fears that I had was that it was going to be an assembly of gray hairs like myself. And when I look across and see the amount of young people we've got here, I really have a feeling that democracy is going to take place here. So thank you to all the young people.
Thank you, Chris. Dick.
Yeah, here we are. I hope I'm not last, but I'm kind of excited because 25 years ago, I took away a man's freedom. I performed his marriage ceremony, and he came up to me this morning smiling and shook my hand. So that's a sort of an extra note here, and I'm really pleased to be here and to hope... get to know you all as a friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. If you turn your, you got to turn that button on.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, one of our members is presently busy and not able to be with us due to the fact that she is adding to the democratic process by presenting us with a new voter. Would it be in order for the secretary of this assembly to acknowledge the fact that she's not here and for us to wish her the best of luck? Thank you.
Yep. Be very appropriate, and we'll do that. Thank you very much. Are we going to? We're going to move into business pretty soon, but no, Rob?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that I feel very honored to be here as well. I'd like to thank RB for starting us off so eloquently. I think he spoke pretty much for all of us in how we feel. And I also must agree with Doug here that one of the main reasons I'm here is for the people that are coming after us, that hopefully the changes that we recommend make a positive change in the province and affect everybody in a good way. And I just want to say thank you for letting me participate. Thanks very much.
Well, I think the people of BC, of course, are thanking you for saying that you would agree to be a member and to make this commitment, although, of course, I think for all of us it's an exceptional opportunity, but were randomly selected, but you were personally invited, you declared your interest and your commitment, and I think the people of BC are enormously appreciative of the kind of commitment that 160 people are making to this. Do we have any other comments? Fred.
Can you hear me? Sooner or later, I generally have something to say. I like to listen a lot, but I speak on behalf of the old people. I have been retired and going on 16 years, and when I looked at the graph of the number of people and the age groups, I was really excited, and I am certainly looking forward to learning. I did quite a lot of learning in my senior, in my adult age, not senior, and I found that very exciting, and I know my remarks have been made about feeling sad at the end of the day. And I remember when I graduated from college, I felt pretty sad for about a year anyway, because I missed the conversations with that level of intellect. I am also visually impaired people, as Jack had mentioned, and you will probably see me using my binoculars here, trying to look at the screen. I'm not too sure yet if I'll be able to read anything when the writing, the printing comes on the screen. But I might use it. I might even use it in, when I look at a speaker, because then I know what the face looks like. Otherwise, I don't. And certainly, I appreciate, I've had such wonderful cooperation of the staff. I have been in communication with a few people, and they have been very, very wonderful in their address and willingness to assist me. And I know that that will continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred. There's no other comments. I'm going to move to the other one. Yeah, Vicki.
Hi, I'm very honored to be here. But one thing I would like to say is I think that we owe very much appreciation to our families, and those people have made it possible for us all to be here, and their support is definitely very important.
Yep, absolutely. Vicki, that reminds me of something that a member, I regret I can't remember who it was right now, and they might put up their hand and remind me, is that apparently, a number of employers have given some little extra time, have been very flexible, and have the person asked me whether we might write a letter of just say thank you for giving that flexibility. And we would be prepared to do that if you tell us, you know, who it is and what kinds of things we might want to say. Clearly, that's totally discretionary on the employer's part. We can't make anything happen, but we are certainly appreciative of any support employers give. So we will write those letters of recognition, by the way, if you let us know. We'll even write your family if you wish, because we're appreciative of all that support out there. Yes, Tia.
Hello, everyone. It was really nice to meet everybody last night. We had a great time. I think this is going to be very interesting and a lot of fun. I want to say thank you to the staff, because you guys have been absolutely phenomenal, especially Kathy with all the emails we've been sending back and forth about travel arrangements. I'm sure we've driven you crazy. The comment I was going to make is shortly after I was selected, the question was posed to me, and I can't remember the exact wording, but something to the effect of, should we be worried that such ordinary citizens such as yourself are being responsible for such a big decision? And I remember taking exception to that, thinking, we are ordinary citizens, but we're not ordinary. We are part of this province. We are part of the decisions. We take part in this life. And I think that every one of us, each and every one of us, are more than capable of taking part in this. I think we're going to do a great job. I think we're going to have fun, we're going to get to meet people, and I think it's historical, and I'm really, really excited to be a part of this.
You bet. Now, I'm not really terribly keen on the term ordinary Canadians. I don't think you look very ordinary at all, you look very exceptional. And FW, no?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Assembly, my name is Dallas Sadu. I think I'd like to second a couple of comments made earlier about the younger generation being involved. I think it's important for today and for tomorrow's future that younger people get involved in decision-making, politics as a whole, and that's why I think we're honored and thankful that we get a chance not only to better understand this system, how democracy works, but actually to have a voice and an opinion in how it reforms. So once again, I'd like to say thanks.
Thank you. Wilf.
Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting at my dining room window, looking out over the valley in which I live, watching deer and coyotes, other wildlife, including my wife, thinking about what an exciting and serious opportunity this is. The gentleman from Sri Lanka said it very well. This is a wonderful, wonderful country. But while I was thinking about how serious a project this is, the radio in the background, there was a cowboy singing a song. It said, "No matter what they say I've done, I've never, ever had too much fun." So I hope whatever we do, we enjoy it, and if we do, we'll do a better job.
Very good advice, Will. And on that, and we will have some fun some nights and during our sessions. But I'm going to kind of push us on to business now. Is that all right? Let's try and have some fun in business. We have two or three things that we are required to do, and I'm going to be a little bit aggressive to try and get us through these things reasonably quickly. Because we have to take a look at the policies and procedures that were given to us by the Legislative Assembly. Those are mandated, and they're there. See if there's any questions about them. As chair, I am supposed to give you a set of policies and procedures to review and endorse, and they're just a beginning. But most importantly, in about 15 minutes from now, we're going to break up, and we're going to have coffee, and we're going to go into small groups, because what we're going to do is kind of write our own constitution. We're going to go into small groups and talk about the kinds of behaviors that we like to see other people exhibit in meetings. That is, we want to talk about, you know, how do we want our meetings to run? What kinds of behaviors best contribute to a cohesive and effective meeting? So that you're going to write yourself. So we're hoping that we can move along reasonably quickly so you can get into your groups reasonably soon and complete that by lunch. So the first set that we have are it's in your book under working documents or working together. The heading is policies and procedures mandated. Have you got them? I'm assuming you probably all read them. So in your booklet, in the white book, and the working together section, and the heading is policies and procedures mandated. I think some people don't have. Now, these are simply taken from the documents, the order and council documents related to the duties of the chair and the assembly. And they're here just for information. They're here in a somewhat abbreviated form. So we thought that you probably ought to have those. They're abbreviated form, and they could be there for reference. I suppose to basically ask if there are any questions about this. I mean, this is not something we will approve or not, because they've been given to us by the government. And if there's no questions on these, question? No? So it just talks about our mandate, talks about what the chair should do, such as the next item we're coming to. Talks about that we can actually expel a member with a two-thirds vote if we wish to do that, which will never happen. It talks about vacancies if they go beyond 25%. It talks about whether if you move out of the province, you're no longer a member of the assembly. It talks about the honorarium per day. It talks about how travel expenses are going to be done. So that's it. Are we happy with that section? It's there for information. Can we then go to the next section? And that was in your package for the material you were going to do for the first weekend. And the title is Policies and Procedures Developed by the Chair. And there's a recommendation there. You will find that in your white book, and it's in the yellow sleeve. You find it in the yellow sleeve. Is it different colors?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
Some of the sleeves are blue for those who are looking for the yellow ones.
I have just been told that they're not all the same color, right? It's the sleeve that says, you know, the week, you know, materials for the weekend. And in there's something called policies and procedures developed by the chair. Does everybody have that now? Or you might be able to share it with somebody who's beside you. Yes, the ones around, I see that you've got them. Now, what I've tried to do here is that according to the order in council and duties of the chair, is that I am to present to you in the first meeting some procedures and policies for doing business together. And so I've done that. What I've tried to do is to make these as lean as possible, as few rules as possible. Indeed, one of the ones, and you might think it's kind of silly, you know, I says, you know, that on matters of meeting procedure, that is how we conduct our meetings, common sense and reasonableness will prevail. Well, that's not usually found in a rule of a meeting, but I have tried to be very lean and not very formal in our procedures, so that as we work along and we find that we need to get a little bit more formality in our procedures, we'd be happy to take a look at them. But for the time being, what we've tried to do is to make it as lean as possible. So the recommendations, we talk about being reasonable, about being informal. They talk about where formality is required, we will look at the terms of reference. We will try not to look at Robert's Rules of Order. A few people know what Robert's Rules of Order are, and you can be a slave to them. We hope that we don't have to actually bring that book out because you tend to be a slave to the Robert Rules of Order and those who know them well. A quorum is 50% of the people who are here. The chair may summarize consensus positions, and if people think that's it, if no one protests, that will be the consensus position. And where a formal decision is required, we'll do it as a majority vote. Voting will be either by hands or we can do secret ballot. The chair does not have a vote unless there's to break a tie. All decisions are recorded. We're talking about a daily question period every day. So tomorrow morning, there'll be a little bit of a question period for us, every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning. Normally, motions will not be put to the floor. Normally, we'll have notice of motions. We won't just have motions going up and down and everything on the floor, because that would just stymie us. But rather, if anyone has something really important, they will probably let the chair know, and we'll write it up, and we can send out in advance, okay, rather than kind of quick motions from the floor. And that's it. I've kind of gone over the main kinds of points of the procedures and policies that I'm submitting to you for your endorsation. And the recommendation I have for you is as follows. I see most of you have got it there, but some of you don't, so I'm going to read it. That the following procedures be adopted, recognizing that as we learn to work together, these policies and procedures may be amended amended, or amplified. Now, that's pretty flexible, isn't it? Okay? That's saying here's a kind of set that we can go on and use for now, but if we find they don't work, then we'll probably put a small little group together and we will work on some more. Derek.
May we make suggestions to this list at this point? Amendments, if possible?
No amendments, but what was your point?
I'm just curious. A quorum I've worked with before has generally been 50% plus one, just to ensure that there is a majority of the members sitting at the time.
Yeah, it means the meeting is 50% plus one.
Yeah, so quorum would be 81 of us rather than 80. It's a nitpick, but...
No, that's just fine. That's the meaning that was necessary. That was the meaning implied, okay?
Okay.
It is 50% plus one. Any other comments on these? We have a yes.
My first time on this thing. Just wanted to ask, as far as the voting goes, will we decide before each vote what form we'll use, or do we decide ahead of time and be consistent all the way through?
I'll probably ask you.
Okay.
How we're going to vote. My hunch is, and a lot of times, I would like to work it and see by consensus. In terms of this recommendation number one, I'm going to ask, by the way, is this recommendation reasonable? Can you live with this? And if there doesn't seem to be terribly much in the way of opposition or no opposition, we'll say it's accepted. We may not have very many votes. Come December, we will have votes. Come November, we'll have to, by some means, clearly decide where we're going to go. But on most issues, I would like to see whether we can just kind of come to some kind of consensus. Okay? But where we're having votes, I'll say, how are we going to vote? Are we going to vote by hand or by secret ballot? And you guys will decide. Okay? Bill.
If we decide to paper you with motions, is it like a mover and a seconder to sign the thing? Or how many seconders? Or
If we go with motions, I would like you to indicate to me that you would like to have a motion considered at an upcoming meeting, and we'll talk about it. We'll get it written, sent out in advance. And we might then put it in small groups first or something of that sort. You can see that I'm trying to avoid a lot of motions on the floor because that will just bring us to a halt almost. Okay? This recommendation that we follow these procedures and that should we need new ones, we will adopt them. And we will amend these as required. Does that seem like a reasonable way to go? Can we live with that? Okay, we'll take this as accepted. Thank you very much. Good way to make decisions, isn't it? Just like in the legislature, John, right? Everybody's happy. Well, we're actually doing really well. It's almost a miracle. I wrote in my notes that if by 10:15 that we got to the point of going for coffee and developing the shared values, that it would be a miracle, and we're there. So that's because we were all very succinct and worked well together. It's a good omen.